Donovan, thanks for doing this. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, man. How many times did you try to reenact that CeeDee Lamb touchdown catch at home?
Well, zero, because I would, throw my back out if I tried to do it once. So, no, not at all, not at all. I mean, as a disgruntled Cowboys fan, my thought was just that, like, if the ball was placed better by Andy Dalton, it would have been a much easier catch. We don't get extra points for degree of difficulty. It's not a judge sport. But yeah, the catch was crazy.
Yeah, it was spectacular. And you mentioned being a disgruntled Cowboys fan. I'm wondering if you're at that place already where you say, actually, I don't really want more wins. I want a better draft pick. Or do you find yourself saying, look, if somebody's got to win the division, it might as well be my team?
Oh no, I was at that place when Dak Prescott was being carted off the field. It was going to be difficult for me to fathom a scenario where they had a defense that was on pace to be one of, if not the worst ever. I was not sure how they were going to win a playoff game, never mind multiple playoff games, and eventually hoist a Super Bowl. So yeah, that's what it's about. It's not about NFC East or right now NFC Least division championships just for the right to lose in the first round to, whoever doesn't win, wins the NFC South or the NFC West. There was no way this team was going to make a run and win a couple playoff games in January, get to February, and then beat the Steelers or the Chiefs, beat the MVP Mahomes or the MVP Big Ben Roethlisberger. So now, certainly, when that all is a pipe dream, my thought is, yeah, get in the draft. Get yourself an offensive tackle or a safety for the first time since Roy Williams, or anybody who can cover as a corner, and maybe with a healthy Dak Prescott, you have a reprieve next year.
Isn't it wild to wake up entering week 12? I know week 11 hasn't quite finished. It will tonight with the Rams and the Bucs, but for all the other teams, they're looking at week 12, and every team in that division has 3 wins and saying, you know what? This might be ours, like Washington and Philly and the Giants and Dallas. They're all looking at it saying, guys, this might be our year.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't get a grade on a curve, right? Like, so certainly, if you were a Giants fan and Saquon Barkley is hurt and it's the first year of a new coach and you've got a young quarterback, is different than if you are a Philadelphia Eagles fan and you still have some of your Eagles merchandise with champagne on it from when you won not that long ago, and your franchise has fallen this fast to this point. When you've invested heavily in your quarterback and Carson Wentz, and a lot of your issues has been your quarterback, Carson Wentz. The Washington football team, to be named later, never thought that they were going to win the division. So, quite frankly, like 3 wins would have been a good number for them for the entire year, not to mention the fact that they benched their quarterback and their backup quarterback got hurt. And now the quarterback that they have starting, Alex Smith, is going to be the comeback player of the year just because he was able to come back and play. So I think all of those teams actually have a real legitimate case as to why they suck. The Eagles have no real excuse. They should have been much better, and their pathway to get much better quickly is a lot more difficult than the other teams. So sorry, Eagles, but I'm not sure how many times you're going to be singing Fly, Eagle, Fly over the next little while.
Donovan Bennett, five-tool player for Sportsnet. He joins us this morning on the Scott Rintoul Show. One of those tools includes hosting the Free Association podcast. I do want to talk some basketball with you here. Fred VanVleet is back, but a couple guys from the championship roster have headed to LA, albeit on different teams. They've added some depth. How do we look at the Toronto Raptors after the smoke has cleared this weekend?
Yeah, it's a good question because not that Twitter is ever a good sample size for anything, but just looking at my mentions and looking at some of the comments on the stories on Sportsnet.ca, I get a little bit of angst from Raptors fans. They're kind of looking around at the housing market around them, and they see, teams around them spending big money and signing players, and they kind of feel left out. And I almost feel like this has been a really productive offseason. No, Marc Gasol is not coming back. And no, Serge Ibaka is not coming back. And certainly would you have been better in 2020, whatever's left of it in 2021, when you start playing shortly after the December restart? Yeah, maybe, probably. At least there'll be more certainty. But really, what we've seen in the East is a lot of teams like reshuffling the deck chairs and spending some money, but spending all money isn't spending good money. You re-signed the player that really mattered in Fred VanVleet. So you took care of that, and your future at the point guard position is secure, even past Kyle Lowry, if he continue to defy the laws of time and age and continue to play well into his mid to late 30s. You know you have a ready-made replacement and someone who's going to play alongside him and maybe allow Kyle to play a little bit longer because he doesn't have to be on the ball as much. You I think, re-signed Chris Boucher, who I would not be surprised if he took a Pascal Siakam-like leap in the next 2 years. It certainly he's athletically there, and so he's like a basketball nerd, most improved player candidate with more volume and more minutes. But Marc Gasol, who we remember locking down Joel Embiid in the playoffs on the way to the championship, and he's not walking through that door. We're not really sure what's left of his hamstring when he does walk through that door. And Serge Ibaka, a very nice player, but as he should, he's going to cash out for probably what's going to be the last big contract of his career, and doing anything that is going to mess up your cap situation in 2021 in that offseason, when not just Giannis, but potentially the four stars in LA, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James, all could be free agents. Certainly you want as much flexibility in that year as possible. So anything to mess up that cap space, I think, would be a negative deal. And when you look around at the teams that are going to have cap space, you're looking at Dallas, you're looking at Miami, and that's kind of it. Other than those players being able to re-sign with their current teams with bird rights, the Raptors are in the catbird seat in terms of going after talent in a free agent class that is frankly unprecedented in the history of the sport. And it's not like they're going to fall off the table. They're still going to be a competent basketball team. They've improved with internal improvement year over year. That's how they've continued to increase that winning percentage, not by spending big money in free agency. The 1 year that they did do that, it kind of blew up in their face. Corey Joseph was a nice addition. The Damari Carroll experiment didn't work. So Raptors fans, I get it. You're looking at other teams making moves. But ultimately, what you want is sustained success. And I think the Raptors are still in a very good position to do that, well beyond what happens in the next 12 or 24 months.
So is your greatest question about the Raptors heading into this year what the ceiling still might be for Pascal Siakam? Is it about other members of this team trying to figure out how they grow and are parts of what they hope to build a championship roster around moving forward? Or is it simply, no, find me a way to re-sign Masai Ujiri, and then I know all is well?
Yeah, I mean, not to discredit the first half of the conversation, because those are real conversations that we'll continue to have on programs like yours. The biggest question of all of this is what's going to happen with Masai Ujiri and or Bobby Webster. None of this matters. None of it matters if those guys are not re-signed or if there isn't a reasonable replacement in their stead. So you could reserve all of the cap space in the world moving forward. When you're talking to a big-time free agent, they're going to want to know who's running the organization. And more importantly, part of the reason why people feel confident that the Raptors would have an opportunity to secure someone like Giannis is because Masai Ujiri would be leading that pitch, is because Masai Ujiri has known him from before he was an NBA player, before he was a high-level NBA prospect. And so that familiarity, that level of comfort, gives the Raptors somewhat of a built-in advantage when historically we've thought that the Raptors weren't going to be your first or second choice in free agency. And so the biggest question, now that the Fred VanVleet situation is done, the biggest question is, well, who's going to be moving the franchise forward for the next 4 or 5 years? Because as good as Fred VanVleet is, Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster have proven to us that they can go find a Fred VanVleet, that they can develop a Fred VanVleet. As good as Kawhi Leonard was when in that 1 year in Toronto, Bobby Webster and Masai Ujiri have proven that when it made sense, they could put their chips in the middle of the table and make a trade that makes them really good in the short term but doesn't hamper them in the long term. Look at the deals that have gone for all-stars recently. We've talked about 2, 3, 4, you know, first-round picks, multiple pick swaps. That's not what Masai Ujiri had to do to get Kawhi Leonard, and he delivered a championship. So the biggest free agents upcoming, if you are a Raptors fan, are Masai and Bobby. Those are the names that you want to see in a push alert on your phone that they have re-signed with the Toronto Raptors. Anything else is immaterial.
I'm right there with you, and as devastating as it was for a number of fans watching Kawhi Leonard leave, it's more important to keep the guy who got the guy than the actual guy himself. And you're absolutely right with everything you said. LeBron James and the Lakers, they're the defending champs until they're not. How big is the gap between them and everyone else with what you've seen over the weekend?
I think it's substantial. I mean, I think the Klay Thompson injury is massive and is a gut punch for, you know, certainly the Bay Area, but just basketball fans in general. Because I do think that the Warriors were going to be a worthy challenger, you know, when they had their nucleus back together and healthy with the benefit of a second round or second overall pick in James Wiseman. Now, you know, that takes the ceiling off of what Golden State can do, even though the Kelly Oubre addition was a nice one. But I think the Warriors are that class above. And I've seen a lot about the fact that the Lakers got better. I don't know if they did get better, but I think relative, I think them staying around the same makes them, I think, a bit better, because I think a lot of other contenders got worse. I certainly think the Boston Celtics today are not better than they were, you know, when they entered the bubble a year ago. We talked about the fact that the Raptors, you know, losing some, you know, continuity at their center position is a bit of a hit. I'm not sure how much better the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be now that they're pretty much hard capped and that they had to, you know, renounce Ersan Ilyasova and that they weren't able to sign Bogdan because of potential tampering. And we're still waiting for Giannis to re-sign an extension there. So until that happens, you know, you should really be unsure how good Milwaukee is going to be in the short and long term. Certainly Brooklyn is an interesting scenario, but I mean, they don't really have anyone that plays defense on that roster. And you're talking about a first time head coach. The Houston Rockets have 2 stars who don't want to be there. The Clippers are looking at a somewhat new coaching staff, and they lost their 6th man of the year to the Lakers in Montrezl Harrell. So I think the Lakers, you know, they made some cosmetic changes that will change their style of play. They won't be as you know, defensively as stout and athletic, but they've got a little bit more offensive playmakers. I think they probably stayed around the same and maybe got younger, which will help them in the long term. But I think them, you know, being around status quo when all things are said and done makes them the class of the league, because again, I think we've seen a lot of, you know, moving of the deck chairs for some other contenders, and they haven't done enough to make themselves a lot better. The teams that took huge swings were teams that were bad: Charlotte, Atlanta, Detroit. And so the Lakers took some big swings, and they were good. And so, yeah, I think it's the Lakers league right now.
I know we got to get you out very quickly. You mentioned Charlotte. Have you been able to sign with Gordon Hayward's agent over the weekend?
Man, oh man. I mean, is it Gordon Hayward's agent, or is it just Michael Jordan being impatient and him, like, you know, wanting to beat Danny Ainge at something else? I don't know. I saw that and I immediately texted, you know, a bunch of friends, and It was just the only thing I said was why. Like, from both sides, I don't really get the deal. From Charlotte's perspective, with Devontae Graham and Terry Rozier and drafting, LaMelo Ball and now signing Gordon Hayward, their four best players play two positions. Like, that just logically doesn't make a lot of sense. And then from Gordon Hayward's standpoint, I mean, I do know why. Like, he got a lot more money, and Charlotte was basically bidding against themselves, maybe the Knicks. But I don't really see a great role fit in terms of style. I certainly don't see this as being a potential place that he can impact winning. So if it's just about securing the bag, you know, I feel like he could have gone to home to Indiana and made more money overall, because he would have had so many endorsements in the state of Indiana that his average salary from the league could have been a little bit lower. So it was a curious move, but I mean, I guess that's what we could say about the Charlotte Hornets. Ever since Michael Jordan has been running the franchise. For some reason, I don't know if Gordon Hayward is going to see the lifetime of that contract in Charlotte, but it's guaranteed. And so as long as the check clears on the 15th and 30th, I think the Hayward family will be happy with the deal. But I don't know how happy Michael Jordan company will be when, once again, they're not in the playoffs at this time in the season next year.
It's the best thing about the NBA. Never fails to disappoint in giving us talking points coming out of every single week, and the offseason's been sensational so far. Donovan, thanks for your time. I know we took more of it than we promised. Appreciate you, and hope to get you back on here. Stay healthy, my friend.
No worries. Same to you.